Blog Talk Radio.
There will be days that just go wrong, make you wanna holler and shout, your hands up in the air, wondering what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And you think that things can't get much worse in a second. Oh, everything just goes south. Keep on keeping on. Whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. Take it one day at a time. God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down inside. Road ain't alone. Keep on keeping on. Stand in your way.
They're always saying
what you cannot do. Don't stop chasing your dreams and working hard to make them come true. Oh. And if it ever gets too tough, just remember. Don't kill you, make you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. Take it one day at a time. With God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down inside. The road ain't long. Keep on keeping on. Keeping on, whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. I think it won't be a time. With God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down inside.
Keeping on, and that's what we do here on Contending for Truth Radio, especially tonight on the Parental Sovereignty Show. We're going to have a great show tonight. We got Dan Wilson down in Florida. We have got Jennifer Montrose. She is down there in the beautiful state of Alabama, and we have got a special panelist with us tonight, a good friend of mine, somebody that I really, really appreciate. Rodney Lee Conover is going to be on with us tonight, and we're going to have a great roundtable discussion. We're going to just discuss the issues tonight and run around. Rodney Lee Conover, if you listen on a regular basis, we do a lot of talking about him around here. We're all big fans of Rodney. He's running for Congress in California 08, running against Paul Cook, who seems to be a very nice guy with a really atrocious voting record. And it's time, you know, it's time that we put some feet down and said, you know, man, we got to get some of this right. We're heading in the wrong direction, and it does us no good if we vote for Republicans who are going in the other direction. So that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to talk about some issues. We're going to talk about maybe some Obamacare. We're going to talk about some Common Core and other issues that are going on. You know, the president yesterday, I do believe, turned around and said, I'm the president, so I get to do anything I want. You know, and that's the kind of mentality we're getting from that other side. And, you know, yeah, some people would say he's joking. I would say he's not joking because that's been he's got priors, you know. He's got priors. That's his attitude. That's the evidence that he's given us is that he wants to do whatever he wants. Not too many years ago, he said that he didn't really believe in executive orders and running the government that way, that it was important for Congress to make decisions. Well, now he's changed his mind. He just thinks that it's the way to do it. So we've got Rodney and Lee Conover on from California. We're going to have Jennifer Montrose down in Alabama. And we're going to have Dan Wilson down in Florida. So I'm going to pass it to Dan first for opening remarks, and we'll pass it around to Jennifer, pass it around to Rodney Conover, and then we'll get into some subjects. Dan, how are you doing this evening?
Oh, I'm doing great down here. It's still pretty warm, so I can't have no complaints. Got a little cold front coming in day after tomorrow, but no big deal about that. But today on the news, I was listening, and they have a little thing that's a piece that it's supposed to be a meter that says true or false on what a politician says. This guy, one guy said, you know, you asked for $1 trillion for jobs last year, and where are they? And they said they measured it false. And it was because the announcer from one of the local papers said it's because only 10% of it was spent on jobs. And I'm thinking to myself, well, that leaves $900 billion. Where did it go? And this is the idea of this administration is they think that they'll give an answer of, yeah, we only spent $1 billion or $10 billion on jobs, but they don't account for the, you know, $900 billion that just went off in the middle of nowhere. And this president has taken on the idea that he doesn't have to listen to Congress. He doesn't have to listen to the Senate. He just does as he pleases. And the problem is we've allowed that to happen. Congress has had many opportunities to step in, and they have chosen not to. And on top of this, we have our state down here just sold out for a bunch of computer systems to go with the Common Core. And these computer systems have all the lesson plans already programmed into them. So it's like, you know, they're giving... Our governor just gave over Common Core to the federal government, and I am furious on that. And I wrote to him, and I'm writing to my congressman, and doing everything I can to stand up against this. And I plan to go to the next school board meeting and demand that they fight it in as much as possible. Florida, sadly, is going to the left rapidly, and it is mostly due to this governor who totally misrepresented himself. And on the left side, we got an ex-governor who is worse. So we have two terrible choices so far. And I'm hoping our, even our libertarian is only about halfway there. But I'm going to have to go with Libertarian this year because I cannot support Scott, and I can't support Crist, so I have no choice but to go Libertarian, which is pretty sad. I'm hoping that we can get in some more grassroots people and start fighting to make a change here. But Florida's going to the left real quick, and I'm a little nervous about that. And not sure what to do. So I'll just pass it over to Jennifer right now and see what she has to say. Jennifer?
Well, hello, everyone. It's been a wild weekend. I tell you what, stepping outside the back door of my house on Saturday just to go get a bicycle pump for my son and found myself with a fractured foot, but it's my left foot. So, but we're doing good. I'm wearing a patriotic red cast. Now all I need is somebody to come over here and draw me a nice-looking elephant on it. Few other red, white, and blue stuff, and we'll be good to go. Anyway, you know, I can't let little stuff get me down. You know, there's, but I'm grateful it could have been worse. But, you know, I tell you what, I've been paying attention to what's been going on lately, and I had somebody today make the comment to me when I was in the orthopedic office today. And I said, you can thank our illustrious Obamacare. He said, oh, you don't have insurance. You couldn't sign on. I said, no, I don't want it. He said, that's the last thing I want. I said, I like what I had. And I've heard so many other people say the same thing, you know. That's the one of the things I've heard. There's a guy that I heard recently. I saw this video of this guy, Rodney Lee Conover. He said, the reason I'm running for Congress is because I want to opt out of Obamacare. I'm like, I wish we as American citizens had the option to opt out of a lot of things. Seems like our government officials seem to take advantage of their status and their role, especially the one that sits up there in the White House. But, this is a 2014 election cycle. Everybody's asking me, who are you hoping to run for president in 2016? Well, I'll tell you, my answer is, let's worry about 2014 and making sure we get the right elected officials in Congress and Senate. You know, my thing is, if you wear the name Republican, if you put your name on the ballot and there's an R by your name, okay, and you tell me what you stand for and what you plan to do, I'm going to make note of that. When you get into office, I'm going to follow up. And if you're not voting according to the values that you said you held to, then I'm going to fight to get you unelected, to get you out of office. And so, I'm putting Paul Cook on notice right now that your days are numbered. And we have a new guy. A new patriot that's coming into White House, and he is going to make heads roll, just like our illustrious Texas Senator Ted Cruz. I believe that. This guy is all about the business of making sure that his constituents get what they ask for, none of this naysayer stuff, or I promise you this and I promise you that and not doing it. We've got a must because, it's not so much about Republican versus Democrat as it is voting your values and doing what you say you're going to do. And if you're going to represent the people, we the people, what the Constitution talks about, if you're going to, how many of the veterans have been rolled under the bus in 2012, 2013? Well, actually, it's been, since 2008, it seems to have gotten worse. It's just ridiculous. I mean, the budget cuts that have been happening, and these are people that go and they serve to protect our liberties and our freedom. And we want to, you know, budget cut in those areas. You know, we budget cut with school. And who ends up suffering? The kids. Then you've got people with alternative agendas that are trying to push their own progressive agenda and put books in our school. I don't ever remember reading things like, you know, the things that I'm seeing come home now. My son's in the sixth grade, you know, so I say, you know, you can stay on Facebook all day long and post to the same people all day long and be like a mouse in a wheel, or you can get out in the street, go talk to your neighbors, you know, go grab a cup of coffee and invite a couple of your neighbors, get a neighborhood watch group together and talk about what's going on. You know, be knowledgeable about who is the city council woman or man that represents you. People today just don't want to know. They're just uninformed voters, and they just go vote whatever party, you know, is on the ticket in some states, and that's ridiculous. And then you've got this free-for-all like you have in California, you know, and it's just time is of the essence. You know, we don't. It's a serious time. I don't want to be like Austria one day and wake up in the United States going, what happened? They lied to us. They lied to us. They lied to me. You know, as we look across the fence and see the ovens and stuff. You know, and people say I'm being, you know, a conspiracy theorist, but I'm telling you, you know, there are people out there that don't want to see the United States be free. And I think some of those are people that are actually in office now. You know, not naming names, you can kind of figure it out. All you got to do is look at their voting record. And it's time that we take those people that have said that they were going to do one thing and did something else, and we vote them out of office, one citizen at a time. We need to make sure that we do our due diligence, that we don't have dead people voting, that we don't have transient people voting, illegal aliens that don't qualify to be here, do not have the right to vote, you know, and it is my sworn duty as an American citizen to ensure that I inform everyone, you know, as best as I can. So, you know, we're looking at all the candidates that are out there. And, you know, I want to say thank you to those that have the courage to get out there to be able to do this, you know, to put their lives on hold for the American people to go through all the challenges that it takes. Because there are some people that, you know, they want to fight a good fight with you, and they want to play dirty. And you know, they're not really looking out for your best interests as American citizens. They're only looking out for their own. You know, they just want to remain in power, and it has nothing to do with what benefits your children, your grandchildren, you know, or even you yourself as you get older. With that, I'll turn it back to Scott.
Well, and Jen, I have to agree with you 100% on what you just said, and you know, it all comes down to voting record, really. You know, we elect these guys, and they campaign on one thing, and then they turn around and vote on something totally different. And whether it be the money they get involved in or bribery or whatever the situation is, I don't care what side. I would rather have somebody that disagrees with me ideologically who votes their conscience and votes what they believe and votes what they campaigned on than to have somebody go up there on either side who runs on one thing, and then when they get there, they play the game of politics. And we're glad to have Rodney with us this evening to join our panel for a little bit. He's had a busy day. He's got some things to do here shortly, so he's going to be here with us for a short amount of time. But, Rodney, that's why I support you, because I am a firm believer that when you get to Congress, and I believe you're going to get to Congress, I'm a firm believer that you're going to be the same person when you leave Congress as you are right now. And, man, that's a bulldog. That's somebody that is willing to go in, and no matter what it is, because you believe in it and because you believe in some basic principles, you're going to be willing to stand up for it. And when they start throwing the money at you and start throwing everything else at you, you're going to say, no, I have to work for my constituents. You're a firm believer in spending a lot of time, actually, with your constituents instead of running around Washington, D.C. playing. And, you know, Jen, I just think that you hit the nail on the head. I think that's been our problem the last few decades, is we've voted these people in, and we haven't really paid attention to their character, And so then when they get there, they follow the money. And so with that, I want to pass it to Rodney Lee Conover to talk for a few minutes. And then we've also got another special guest, a good friend of mine, Teresa Bresky, from Minnesota up there where it's really cold. So I'll let Rodney pass it over to Teresa, and then we'll take it from the top.
I thought this was supposed to be about parenting.
We will get there.
I came on here to talk about parenting, and all I can hear about is how my opponent should be run out of town and I should be elected to Congress. Oh, wait a minute. That's what I want to talk about, too. Hold on a second. No, Jennifer's right. It really boils down to something fairly simple, and that is you say one thing and you vote another way. Look, as you guys know, I'm preaching to the choir here. I'm not interested in winning. I'm interested in a headline. And the headline goes like this. If you're a Republican and you represent yourself to Republicans during a campaign, that you're going to do one thing and you're going to vote one way, and then you go to Washington and you do something else, something extremely different from what you campaigned on, what you promised people. You put your hand on your heart and you took their trust. You took their money. You took their vote. You are representing them in this republic. And then you didn't not just enable Democrats, you reached across the aisle and you voted with them. If you do that, someone like Rodney Lee Conover is going to stand up and kick your butt out of office. That's what I'm interested in. I'm interested in a message being sent to these people because we cannot beat these barbarians at the gate. We can't beat them back if we have a Republican Party that is stopping us from even getting out of the dugout. We have to throw them out of office and then deal with the barbarians, the Marxists, the people who have no interest in legislating how it will benefit Americans and the American people. Now, that sounds extremist, and I'm sure people would call me that, but think about it. You think for a minute that Democrats can be reasoned with? Hey, you know, you guys really should vote for this because it's good for America, good for the American people. Guess what? That might have worked during Ronald Reagan's time with Tip O'Neill, and they would come to some sort of agreement, a compromise. One guy gets one thing, one guy gets another thing, and they're both working for what they believe is for the betterment of the country. But that's not how it is anymore, sports fans. This new Democrat doesn't care about what's good for America or Americans. And I'm not being coy, and I'm not being trite, and I'm not just spewing fire. These are the people that passed Obamacare and then exempted themselves from it. Now, turn around and tell me that they give a damn about Americans after doing that. Tell me running up the debt to $17 trillion, $20 trillion, $100 trillion in unfunded mandates. You tell me they give a rat's butt about Americans because they don't. So you cannot deal with them logically or reasonably. Scott, Jennifer, David, everybody, we got to release the hounds, as they say on The Simpsons. It is time. It's over. All this crapola that we've been doing is done with. It doesn't work. We tried. We tried to reason. We tried to talk to them. We tried reaching across the aisle, and it's over, okay? It's time to release the hounds, send in the big dogs, but first we've got to get rid of these people running interference, and they have R's next to their names. One of them is in my district. I just got a link today from the Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly's organization, who I met and spoke with and ate dinner with at the Restoration Weekend most recently a couple months ago. They rate Paul Cook, a Republican, at 33%. How can you even be a Republican at 33%? That's not a Republican. That's a Democrat rating. Anything under 50%, guess what? You're not a Republican. Not how I learned it. And his top five donors are what? They're labor unions. Do you think they have Americans' best interests in mind, the labor union? I do not. So, yeah, people give me crap about running against a Republican. I just have to remind them that I'm not running against a Republican. And they must be removed from office. I'm sorry that they didn't work out in 2010. We swept the Republicans into the majority of the House of Representatives for one big purpose and for many small ones. The big purpose was because this country was appalled over Obamacare. They looked at it and said, what is that? You got a tiny percentage of Americans that can't afford or cannot attain health insurance, and you're going to blow up the entire system. You are going to take from me, my doctor, and my health plan so you can do what? Obamacare doesn't even cover everyone. Not even close. This is by their own admission. Now, some of those Republicans that we swept into the House didn't work out. We can't expect them all to work out. 57 of them voted to fully fund Obamacare. My opponent is one of them. And they got to go. They're not getting the job done, just like Clint Eastwood said at the Republican convention. Guys in there not getting the job done, you got to put somebody else in. It's going to get the job done. It's that simple. And Jennifer Montrose said what I'm saying right now and said it in about 10% of the words that I'm saying it. She said, look, it's a matter of doing what you say you're going to do or not doing what you say you're going to do. I find that incredibly simple and straightforward. And I'm glad, Jennifer, by the way, that you have that faith in me, and it's warranted. I'm a good product. I am going to go there, spend as little time as possible. I am going to introduce legislation that would force Congress people to spend more time in the districts because a lot of the shenanigans would go away. If I'm sitting at a restaurant surrounded by my constituents, by the people that I pass laws that actually get affected by those laws, if my kids go to the schools that are affected by that legislation, I don't think I'm going to cut the military pensions of people that are I got to look at every day. Come on. This is common sense 101. And the idea that we cannot instill common sense back in Washington, well, that is just a give-up attitude that I'm not going to stand for. Scott will tell you that I am really optimistic. I am fired up. This week, for some reason, God put us right in the middle of the biggest challenge to this country since World War II. We're fighting a battle that is huge, but man, is it great or is it just me? Am I just nuts? I love it. And I can't wait. I can't wait to go to war. And I'm really, really, I'm humbled that you guys have so much faith in me. And I'm not going to let you down. And I'm going to sign off here, but I want to say thank you to all of you. All right?
Well, and I agree, Rodney. And I'm fired up with you because I'll tell you, and Jennifer Montrose said this the other night, and she was right. I have not been this fired up about a candidate in a long time. And Rodney's firm and he's solid on the conservative issues, and he knows how to talk to people and explain why he believes what he believes, not just what he believes. And I say that a lot on this program, that's important. But I've known a lot of candidates like that. I've supported a lot of candidates like that. The difference that makes me fired up about Rodney is I have not had I had this kind of a firm conviction about a candidate in a long time, that he means what he says what he means, and he's going to do it. And, you know, Rodney, you just made a really, really important point, and I'm going to start using this because, you know, we use the example of a sack of bad apples. You put a good apple in a sack of bad apples, and pretty soon it turns into a bad apple. And that's a big part of our problem is our good candidates end up going to Washington, D.C. They spend all their time there. They spend all their time with the nonsense instead of being at home with their constituents. And where's the influence come from? Where does it come from? It comes from Washington, D.C., and that's where their influence comes from. And we do. We need to make a hard push. And, you know, Rick Perry said the same thing on one of these blog talk shows when I interviewed him during the primary. And he said, you know, we need to make our congressmen and we need to make our senators part-time. They need to spend more time at home. Because if they spend more time at home, they're going to keep straight a whole lot better. If you let them just spend all their time in Washington, D.C., it's going to be crazy. Larry Nichols, who was responsible for the Clinton Chronicles, said basically the same thing when he was on one of our shows. He said, you know, the first thing you got to do when you get a candidate and you send them to Washington, D.C. is you make sure they hire their own staff. Don't let Washington, D.C. hire their staff because they're going to try and surround them with people with like minds and they're going to end up in a mess. The first thing he tells every single candidate he ever talks to, and he's been doing this for decades, is you get in there and hire your own staff for the exact same reason. And, you know, Rodney, that's why I am. I'm fired up about you, and I've been fired up about you for a few months now. And it's because of that confidence, because we need 434 more Rodney Conovers in Washington, D.C., on both sides. No matter what the ideological issues are, I don't have a problem with Democrats. I've got a big problem with far-left liberal socialists. But, you know, the John F. Kennedy Party at one time, you know, it was some difference between ideals. But I tell you, we've got to get every single one of those congressmen, every single one of those senators, and I want the Democrats on their side to be doing the same thing. I want them to be getting people that aren't playing politics in Washington, D.C., that are getting the work done. You know, we interviewed so many people that want to get in and work and fight and do the right thing. And I believe that's the most important part. We can have a whole bunch of candidates that are conservatives, solid conservatives. But if they're going to end up in Washington, D.C. and end up with the mush, like Cork the Dork, Bob Corker, in Tennessee, or Lame Alexander, who are just playing politics, it's not going to be any good. And, you know, we're going to pass it next to a good friend and a patriot and a hard worker and somebody that I communicate with almost every day and have for years, who's working hard up there in the cold, Teresa Bresky. We'll welcome you to the show tonight as part of our panel and pass it to you because I know you and I agree on these things. It's important. We are very picky about who we really get in and put our full amount of time in. And it's because we need good people that are there that have good, solid standpoints. So Teresa Bresky up in Minnesota, how you doing, girl?
Doing all right. Just trying to stay warm. You know, it's almost a full-time job, you know, up here.
It sure is.
Yeah, so, you know, just getting back to, you know, what we're talking about, you know, we've got a country with a good number of people that have soft minds, and you'll see it in the representatives, and it doesn't matter what tag you have after your name. It's the same thing with the Common Core that they're trying to push. They're trying to create the next generation of even softer minds, and that's not really the direction this country needs to be going. So there's just so many things that need to be said and done, and we do need candidates that are going to do what they say they're going to do. So, you know, sometimes I feel so demoralized by everything that you see going on that I feel like there aren't enough smart people that get it anymore, that there are people that don't want this country to be free any longer. So, you know, I just hope that this next election is going to prove me wrong because the last couple weeks I've been feeling really kind of demoralized with everything, you know, that's been going on. And, you know, it's... But then again, yesterday after, driving home from work, I'm listening to Dennis Prager's show, and I don't remember the guest he had on, but he said that there are 66% of the, you know, American people, you know, are, you know, don't want what's happening in the country. They see that there's freedoms being stripped from us, and you know, I hope 66% of people show up to do something, if that's indeed a fact. So that's just kind of my two cents on the topic tonight. So I'll pass it back to you.
Well, and I agree. And you know what, Teresa, you bring up another really important point. And it doesn't really do us a whole lot of good to get a whole bunch of good candidates out there if we don't get the people to get out there and vote.
Right.
You know, Neil Mammon wrote a great book, and the title just left me, Teresa. You might have to throw that in there for me. It's not sitting here in front of me. But he mentions in that book that two-thirds of the Christians in this nation don't vote. They just don't vote.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a bunch of millions of people. And, you know, what really frustrates me the most about that is the two big things. And Rodney brought up parental sovereignty, and I'm going to bring up church sovereignty. The two big important issues beyond Obamacare and all these other things are parental sovereignty and our church sovereignty. Our nation was founded on church sovereignty. Okay. They are at stake. The left, the far left, wants to take away our right to raise our children the way we want to raise them. They want to indoctrinate them. They want to teach them a certain way. They want to teach them a certain method. They want to get involved. That's what Obamacare is really about, is getting involved in their health care lives. And they want to go into our pulpits, and they want to tell us that we cannot call a spade a spade.
Right.
And I'm a believer, and anybody that listens to this show knows that I am not afraid to tell you I think you need to be married when you're having sex.
Right.
I know that everybody doesn't agree with that, but boy, I better be able to preach that from the pulpit. I believe that homosexuality is a sin. I've got friends that are gay, and I understand that there's sin that runs around, but I still believe that I should be able to have the right to stand in the pulpit and say sin is a sin.
Right.
And the left wants to take that away, folks. The Christians should be the first ones up at the plate voting right now, because they want to mutilate our right to preach what is truth coming from the Word of God. In fact, not only that, and this is what the environmentalist movement's about, this is what the animal rights movement is about, this is what evolution is about, they want to prove and indoctrinate to our kids that there is not a God. And if you don't think there are teachers across this nation right now telling kids in the classroom, well, your mom and dad might believe in God, but you know what, your mom and dad are wrong. It is going on. And Common Core is designed to institutionalize that in our schools. That's where the problem is. You know, we just watched Rodney Conover on the Rick Amato show and saw a great guy give a great answer on Common Core. In fact, I just got friends with him. Frank Roach, who is running for, let me look real quick as he pops up here. I had it up here, and then he's running for Congress, and I can't tell you where. We'll look that up in a minute, and I'll give him a shout-out for that. But, you know, he gave a great answer on Common Core, that they want to just, man, they want to just flat-out lower the standards for our kids. They want to federalize what's going on in our schools. And, you know, I don't want it federalized on either side, because the only way to survive parental rights is if it's controlled by the local mentality. And these are the things that we fight for. These are the things that are important. And not everybody's going to agree with me on my moral issues. But, boy, I better turn around and be able to stand up in the pulpit and say something about it.
Yeah.
And our churches right now, all across the nation, if you don't think this is a problem, folks, if you don't think it's a problem, our churches have to carry insurance right now in case they get sued, in case they say homosexuality is wrong from the pulpit, and they get sued. And that is insane. That is insane. They should not be able to sue a church for the freedom of speech from that pulpit, but they do. Or if a guy gets up in the pulpit and he happens to stand on some other moral issue and somebody gets upset about it, they can sue. And our churches are spending money on insurance to take care of that. And if you think it's bad now, what's it going to be like in 20 years? What's it going to be like in 20 years? And so the Democrats, they're playing dirty right now. And it's, and man, I wish I could say that it's not the Democratic Party. But it is the Democratic Party, because the far left has got a hold of the Democratic Party. it's not my grandmother's Democratic Party anymore. My mom's parents were Democrats way back when. And in fact, my mom always made sure that I was not supposed to talk politics while I was at my grandparents' house when I was a teenager and excited about politics. I really wish I hadn't listened to her. I would have loved to have had some conversations with my grandfather. But we just never talked politics. But they were Democrats. But I guarantee you, right now, they'd be voting Republican. Because I know where they stood on issues. I know where they stood on a lot of things. And it's not Mom and Dad's Democratic Party anymore. And we got one more guest we're going to bring in, and then we'll pass it around the table for some roundtable discussion. We got a lot of people on, so we want to try and keep our comments short from here on out. We got Paul Arnold up near the Lake Tahoe area in California, a new friend of mine, new Patriot friend of mine, and helping also with Rodney Conover. Excited about him as well. And so we want to welcome you, Paul. How are you doing up there? Welcome to the show. And here's to you for your comments.
How you doing, Rodney?
Rodney has gone ahead and logged off. He had to eat. He's been going all day, and he had to eat. So it's me and Teresa, and it's Dan and Jennifer and you, Paul.
Wow, I wasn't expecting to be thrown into this conversation, but I guess I am. I was just listening to the show.
Okay, that's all right. Jennifer, let me know that you were calling in. So do you want to just sit in the background? That's fine. We can let you do that.
Okay, yeah, I'll just sit here.
All righty. And Teresa's letting me know that she's going to go ahead and bounce offline and listen too. She's been working all day. Let me tell you, tireless Teresa is, and I'm going to tell you, that's what this show is all about. You know, we start out with keep on keeping on, and we do that every week. Because this show is about the people that are out doing things. I've said a million times, Jennifer Montrose, when I was out in California, would pop in at 1 o'clock my time out there, which is 3 o'clock out here, where I'm in the central time zone now, working and doing things. And Paul, I know you're up there in Lake Tahoe area, you're working. And Dan Wilson, working. And you know what? That's what it's going to take. That is absolutely what it's going to take to get this job done. It's going to be what it takes to get people like Rodney Lee Conover elected. It takes a lot of work. It's going to be what it takes to get some of these organizations going that are important. You know, we've got not only candidates to support, but we've got organizations that are working hard to try and keep our freedoms. And, I want to take this conversation for a minute because I'm getting ready to pass it back down to Dan Wilson down in California, I mean down in Florida. You know, I talked a few minutes ago about where we started. Our country was started. In homeschool, we've been studying the Mayflower and the Pilgrims. And, you know, they left for a reason. They left for religious freedom. And about half those people on that boat were leaving because they wanted to be able to have the freedom to believe what they believed, to worship the way they wanted to worship, and to follow God's way instead of following the state church. Well, now we're starting the revolution. We're starting the Revolutionary War. And what did they decide? You know, they sat down and they wrote the Declaration of Independence. And you know, basically what that Declaration of Independence said was this. God gives us some unalienable rights. And when a government decides it's going to trample on those rights, it is the right of the people to make a new government. And therefore, King George III, we don't want to be underneath you anymore because you're trying to trample on our rights. And so therefore, we tell you, bye-bye, buddy. See you later. We are no longer under English rule. And, you know, that's basically what the Declaration of Independence was all about. And then, of course, we know that he didn't like that answer too well. So we had to have a revolutionary war in order to accomplish that task. But we fought for it. We fought for these same things that we are watching ourselves now go backwards towards. And that doesn't surprise me because that's the history of man. You can go back through and you can look at the Roman Empire. You can look at the Assyrian Empire. You can look at the Babylonian Empire. You can look at the Grecian Empire. You can look at all the empires of the world. You can look at countries all over the world. And you've seen this pattern happen before. People end up having freedom, and then they get so comfortable, they get so laxed, that they let the freedom slip right out from underneath their hands. And that goes back to what Teresa was saying. You know, we got the voters have got to wake up and pay attention. Because we're watching our freedoms go backwards. We're watching ourselves. We hit a pinnacle, and now we're watching ourselves go back towards where we started from. And that's what we've got to fight for. We've got to fight for our freedom. Thankfully, we live in a day and age where we can fight with our votes. But we've got to fight. We got to get these guys in Congress. Boy, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to really look seriously at Frank Roach running for Congress. Because, boy, he had some really good things to say in a very short amount of time. And I believe that he's the kind of person that wants to really go and make a difference. He wants to go save us from things like Common Core. He wants to save us from some of these things. Obamacare, wow. You know, what a talk about an intrusion. During the Herman Cain campaign, when he was pushing 999, one of the reasons he said was, if you will take and destroy that tax code, and you will put the power back in the hands of the people. Well, it's the same thing. Obamacare, the other direction, Obamacare took a lot of control out of the hands of the people. And in order to get that power back, we have to defund Obamacare. And people like Paul Cook just turned around and said, let's just fund it, you know? And so we got to look back at history. And so with that, I'm going to pass it to Dan. And Dan, I'll let you pass it to Jennifer. And we've got had our three guests on tonight, our three guest hosts, and it's just the three of us again. So we'll run around the round table that direction. Dan.
Sounds good. You were just talking about the early days of this nation. And we broke away from the British on a 2% tax in Greece. Can you believe that? Is that it was 2%, and they were breaking away from the British because they did not have representation in Parliament. And today, I feel the same way. I don't feel like I'm being represented. Even though I elect this person goes to Washington, and then they go on their merry way. And they don't care what the constituents say. They just want to hang around with the gang and play politics and forget about what's going on back here. And so we're no longer being represented. It's time that we stood up and said, enough is enough. You know, our forefathers before us went on a lot less. And, you know, it started out with a small number of people. But the numbers grew as people started getting more and more fed up with the system. And the system under King George, sadly, he had lost touch with the people. And this is what this administration has done. This is what the federal government has done. They have lost touch with the people, and they are no longer paying attention to us. They think they run the show, but our Constitution says otherwise. And our Declaration of Independence says when there comes a time when we can't agree anymore, it is the right or the obligation of the people to separate from that power. And we're rapidly approaching that. We have this president just this week tried to pass more laws on restricting the Second Amendment rights. He turned around and tried to justify his $1 trillion that he spent last year, of which $900 billion, we have no idea where it went. you know, this guy is spending faster than they can print the money up. And what's going to happen is we are seeing inflation leaking out in the form of the price of groceries and things like that. They're saying that the in his State of the Union address, you know, Obama says, look at the stock market. It's going up. No, the stock market's not going up. It is the valuation of the dollar is going down. Therefore, the number of dollars has to go up. But if you look at GDP, gross domestic product, which is a true sign of the growth of an economy, it was less than 1%. That was lower than the Great Depression. So we are actually sitting lower than the Great Depression. And the only reason we don't have bread lines and things like that is we had these social service programs and we're large enough so we can keep on borrowing. But eventually that's going to come to an end too. And it's going to create a complete collapse. And when that happens, it's going to get ugly. So it's time for the people to truly stand up and fight against this. As I said, I was never much of a gun person. I used to help my friend put food on the table, but you know, I hunted because I was helping somebody. But after, we went our separate ways after high school, I hadn't had a gun in 20 or 30 years, other than going out doing what they call a sporting glaze. But I went out this winter and purchased a Colt 45 1911. And for two reasons. One, it was sending a sign to our government is, yes, I have the right to bear arms, and I will have the right to bear arms. And I'm going to defend my family should any aggressor try to enter my home without my permission. And this is, you know, we have to start standing up to the people. We have to start forming local militias and start utilizing the Constitution and our Bill of Rights. Our Bill of Rights are really our God-given rights. And we need people to start standing up for these things and start using the Constitution to tell the government enough is enough. And then also put enough fear within them that should they try a military move, that we have the ability to stop it. You know, that's one of the things that put off the British is that the colonists were great at ambushing, and what they did is this hit-and-run type maneuvers. And if we have to go back to something like that and do basically what, you know, the Taliban is doing and, you know, fighting in terms that our military doesn't work well, then we have to. I don't want to see that, and I pray to God each day. But, you know, we have to be prepared for anything. We have to go back and use our Constitution to bring back the people and bring this nation back to where it was. And oftentimes we talk about returning to our past, and we refer to Frederick Douglass and, you know, great leaders of our past. And the reason is because they had it right. You know, back even in the days of John F. Kennedy, you know, Kennedy's first, you know, inaugural speech, he said, you know, don't look to the country to solve your problems. Look to yourself and help the nation solve the problems it has. And we need to turn around and do that. We shouldn't be looking for the nation to solve our issues. And we should be looking, when the government starts putting blocks and to prevent our economy from growing, we need to stand up and say, this is wrong. I mean, look at the amount of regulations that have been put in place. And look at the amount of taxation they're putting on the on corporate America. Corporate America is ready to go. They're ready to climb. But they refuse to invest now because if they do, they know the government's going to take everything. So they are not hiring. And we need to stand up and say enough is enough. You know, allow our get your bloody paws out of the government. I mean, out of our economy, and let it grow. The best thing to do for an economy in a free enterprise system is to allow it to do its own thing. And then it will heal itself and grow. And it wants to. But this government is preventing it from happening. And this depression that we are in today is solely caused by this administration. I mean, the last administration didn't warn enough, and this administration made sure that they're trying to take this country down, and we need to stop it. And the only way we can stop it is in this election come November. We got to get grassroots people elected and put into government office. I mean, we need to get them into Congress. We need to get them into the Senate. If we don't get these grassroots people in, people who want to, who stand for their convictions and stand for what they believe in and what their constituents believe in, we're going to be in trouble. So this election, there's a lot riding on it. And we need to get these people out. And it's up to us to hit the streets and get these people, no matter where you go, start talking. You know, as Jennifer said, take them out to coffee. If you're in the grocery, you know, you're in line at the grocery store, start talking. You're getting your car washed, start talking. Get these people involved because that's our salvation. Get these people to go out there and vote. And I don't care if you're going to vote Democrat or Republican, but you have to have people who are going to stand up for us. I mean, and stop playing these games. The far left has taken on a Marxist mentality, and the people don't really understand that. because this is very dangerous ground we're treading on. If we go from into a Marxist economy, we're into communism. And you want to see where we're going to go? Take a look at Cuba. And in 50 years, we'll look exactly like Cuba does. And we'll have a dictator, and we'll have no rights. And I want my great-grandchildren to have the same rights I had when I grew up. And with that, I'll pass it over to you, Jennifer.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, you know, you got candidates out there. You know, we've got people in office right now. We've got this big issue with the amnesty thing. What are we going to do with the illegal aliens that are here? You know, we've got people that have been living here illegally for years. You know, I say let's hold the feet to the fire and let's enforce the laws that we already have on the books. Once you start enforcing the laws that you already have on the books, then I think all this stuff will start taking care of itself. If we had been doing this from the jump, you know, we wouldn't have this issue. And here's the thing, you know, I don't feel sorry for those that came across the border illegally. You know, what I feel sorry for is Americans, those that fought for their right to become Americans, naturalized citizens, who did it the right way, for American citizens that were born here, that have the right to be here, because they, you know, because they're born Americans. And that, you know, they seem to be getting the shaft. And if we start allowing all of these illegals to all of a sudden have their right to be here, you know, and to get the same rights as we do, I mean, what are we saying? What are we saying? I mean, that's just like a slap in the face to those that had to go through all the studying and all that stuff to become a naturalized citizen. You know, I mean, we already have problems on the border. I mean, our hospitals are overloaded with people that are dropping babies on this side of the fence, you know, so that their sons and daughters can become American citizens, you know, and, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, and then you've got farmers. I mean, hold the companies accountable. If they're hiring illegal aliens, hold their feet to the fire. You know, let's do our due diligence to, you know, make sure that our congressmen and our senators are doing what we ask them to do. If they say they're going to represent us, the constituent, then they need to represent us. You know, heaven forbid, you know, I would never stand with Wendy ever. You know, genocide is not something that I endorse or support. Planned Parenthood does not care about our children. You know, they're in the business of making money at the expense of killing babies. You know, and they claim, well, they have a lot more that they do. But I can tell you what, it is not in the best interest of us, the American people. You know, and we've got, I talked with a school teacher yesterday at my son's school. You know, she can't stand Common Core, but if she comes out and talks about it publicly, she risks losing her job. You know, we need politicians that are willing to risk it all for us. You know, what if they had to deal with the same kind of pay rate that we get? What if they were held to the same standards and lose their health insurance? You know, I mean, we've got people that go overseas and they fight for our freedoms and come back and get less. They're treated with no respect. You know, it's time. I am angry. I have an 11-year-old son. What is he going to grow up to? What's life going to be like for him, you know, 10 years from now, 5 years from now? You know, it's like the only people that are going to really be prepared for this are the preppers. You know, it's time that we you know, wake up, people. Wake up, America. We've got to. You know, my dear friend Jan Morgan, you know, I mean, she says, you know, there are just some people you just can't trust. They have not proven to us that they're trustworthy. But why do we keep saying that we need to, you know, show them love, be friendly to those? You know, we've got to, you know, have a kinder, gentler, you know, military. You know, and that's why we keep having things like, you know, 9/11 and the Boston bombing happen to us. Are we really considered to be a threat? I have to question, you know, when we put our military men and women in training and we go through all this stuff. So,
I think we might have just lost Jennifer. Exactly, Jennifer. You know, and you know, we can. We said a lot of things, and they all kind of go together. You know, and I've given this illustration before, and I'm going to give it again because you hit on something that's very important. This country was founded on immigration. It was founded on immigrants. In fact, there are very, very few people running around this country right now that doesn't come from family of immigrants, legal immigrants. And I spent time down in working and living in Trinidad and Grenada a decade ago. And I got to know some wonderful people. Let me tell you, the people of Grenada treated me like gold. It was awesome. I fell in love with those people. And in Trinidad and Grenada, there were people that were trying to immigrate to the United States. Some good people. But it's a very difficult thing to do that. And it's a very difficult thing to do that because there are a bunch of people who jump ahead of the line and don't go through the line and don't go through the process. They believe it's okay to just hop the fence and just do it. And, you know, if we did that at Disneyland, if you went to Disneyland and you saw the line to Space Mountain was really, really long and you decided you didn't want to wait in that line, so you just jumped up front, what would they do? Well, in a heartbeat, you'd be kicked out of the front of the park and asked not to come back and be put on a list that, you know, this person's not allowed to come back in here, at least for a year. And if you did it again and again, they would permanently ban you from the park. Or if you went to the grocery store and you're at Walmart and you look and you saw the line was really long and so you decided you just didn't want to wait in that line, so you just jumped in the front of the line and pushed in front of somebody, what would they do? Well, Walmart would call security. Now, that doesn't mean I don't want you to check out your groceries. That doesn't mean I don't want you to ride Space Mountain. But I want you to do it right. That doesn't mean I don't appreciate people from Mexico or Grenada or Trinidad or Ghana or Ethiopia or Europe, Cuba. People from coming here and enjoying the American dream. I love that. That's what this country was founded on, was legal immigration. But we've got laws in this country. And you know what amazes me? That there's not another country around that would even come close to letting this happen. You know what happens if you cross the border illegally into Mexico from the south? You know what happens? They kill you sometimes. They kill you. If they don't kill you, they put you in jail, and they're not pretty nice jails like our jails are here. You know, our jails here have air conditioning and heating and 3 meals a day. Sometimes they've got television and computer access in our prisons. No, not those kind of jails, folks. If you followed the Joran Vandersloot story, he's in a jail in Brazil or Chile, somewhere down there. You look at those pictures. Look him up. Look up Joran Vandersloot and see where he's at. See what kind of prison he's in. In these countries, any other country in the world, Canada doesn't let people do that. In fact, they've got very stringent rules. Canada is very, very difficult to get in and become a legal immigrant. And if you go across the border up into Canada, they don't let you just stay. They make you come home. But here in the United States, you know, and we are soft-hearted people. We're compassionate people. And I'm compassionate. And there's people all over the world that are in fear of their lives. You know, there's a family that's living here right now that's trying to get access to living in this country because if they go back to Germany, they're not going to be allowed to homeschool anymore, the Remekis. They're going to be persecuted if they go back to Germany. And boy, our government is giving them a hassle, doesn't want them to stay, and they're trying to go through the process legally. But it's okay for everybody to just jump ahead of the line. And, you know, it's a mentality. It's a mentality that messes us up. It's a mentality. But Jenny also covered something else. And that's, you know, a person that happens to be an employee of a school or on a school board can't speak up about Common Core. Oh, you want to talk about more than a mentality. That's institutionalized in Common Core and was institutionalized in CSCO. This concept of not being able to talk about it. You know, I watched in the last few years, I watched the California schools push a lot of people out, encouraging them to retire. Now I realize why they were doing that. They were trying to get rid of some of the people that they knew were going to oppose Common Core. So they offered these great plans, if you'll retire now so we can bring younger people in and pay them less. Well, it didn't have anything to do with paying them less. They wanted to bring people on that were more apt to not say anything about Common Core. Oh, sneaky. Yeah, they are. That left side is sneaky. It's an ends justify the means mentality, folks. It's ends justify the means. And so, you know, when we put all these together, if we lay the issues aside for a moment, and let's just lay the issues. Let's lay the Second Amendment aside for a moment. Let's lay abortion aside for a moment. Let's lay Obamacare. Let's lay immigration on the side for a moment. Just put them away for a moment. And let's talk about mentality. Mentality. Because in order to accomplish the task that they want to on those issues, it takes a certain kind of mentality. It's a lying mentality. You know, Dan and I have talked about this on a number of occasions. You know, what do you do with the Second Amendment? But the mentality is, lie about it. Ends justify the means. Lie about it. When it comes to the Second Amendment, we know that because of California, we know what the facts are. We know that in California, they've got the most stringent Brady bills in the legislature than any other state. But California, man, no matter how hard they try, they can't come up with criminals. I guess they're going to have to import some. They can't come up with criminals that'll follow the law. So California's got a worse gun crime problem than any other state with the most stringent Brady bills in the country. So gun control doesn't work. We know that. You know, that's just a big, huge, excellent example of it. So what do? They lie. They try and cover that up. They try and use every excuse in the book of a means justify the means mentality. You know, and Anita Moncrief ran into that, and she uses that phrase a lot because in her job she found herself being told to lie. And she went, wait a minute. No, this isn't right. And she started looking at the facts, and she went, no, there's some things that are wrong here. Because she saw that it was an ends justify the means mentality. We got a president right now. He wants to rule now. He wants to rule by executive order. But what did he say back in 2008? He says, "Oh no, we shouldn't be using executive orders that way." Well, now he's decided to do it. Why? Because he can't accomplish what he wanted to accomplish. It's an ends justify the means mentality. And as long as we continue to have that on the side of the Democrats, because that's the far left's mentality, we're going to consistently fight this. We're going to consistently fight them absolutely calling us racist. I don't have a racist bone in my body. But I'm a racist because I disagree with this president. Now, it amazes me. I disagree with Nancy Pelosi, too. So I guess that makes me a woman hater. I don't agree with Wendy Davis here in Texas who thinks she's going to be governor. I laugh because the Democrats found him a dud, man. She's falling faster than the pancakes fall off our table when the little girl gets home. She knocks those on the floor all the time. Her splat. Wendy Davis is making a fool of herself and the Democratic Party and Battleground Texas here in Texas. Let me tell you, that's why I laugh, because they've really picked a dud. They're really, the Democrats are really nervous right now. They're not just worried about her losing. They're worried about her making a fool of herself between here and November. Not only that, they're looking at possibly a bigger loss than they've seen in a long time. Because the Democrats don't go for that. Democrats here in Texas, most of them, the Democrats here in Texas are pretty conservative, actually, Democrats. You find more of the Democratic Party like it used to be here in Texas than you would in California. You know, you go to California and find the Democratic Party, especially in the Bay Area or different places around L.A. or different areas in California, and you find some really liberal Democrats. Most of the Democrats in Texas aren't that way, and Wendy Davis is making a fool of them. But she's got an ends justify the means mentality. She's willing to lie. She's willing to lie about her record. She's willing to lie about her opponent's record, as long as it justifies her means, as long as it gets her where she wants to be. So then we take and we plug these issues back into that mentality, and they all make sense. They used lies and deceit and bribery to get Common Core as far as it was up until this point. Period. Now you can agree with Common Core, or you can disagree with Common Core, the actual what it is, all day long. But you cannot disagree with the fact it was brought in with lies, deceit, and bribery. So that makes me say, well, no matter what you think about Common Core, shouldn't you take a second look just for that reason alone? Look at Obamacare. How did they pass it? How did they pass it? With lies and deceit and bribery. We have found out what all the lies are. They said we could keep our plan. Well, Rodney Conover was the first one to say, I lost my plan and I liked my plan. And people, millions of people all over the country are losing their plans. But they said we could keep our plan. They lied. They knew it. But they knew if they didn't lie, they would never get it passed. So that on itself, no matter what you think about Obamacare, no matter what you believe about socialized medicine, the fact that they brought it in with that mentality should make you stand up no matter what side you're on and go, wait a minute, there might be something wrong with this. We can talk about the Second Amendment. We can talk about abortion and rape. You know, I bring that up a lot because it really, really frustrates me, the rape question. Because rape and abortion, that part of the issue is a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a fraction. And the left brings that up because they want to make it look like there's all these people out there getting raped and they're all getting pregnant and we have no compassion if we don't think about those people. It's almost a mute issue. Why are we even having that discussion? Let's get back and talk about the millions and millions and millions of babies that are aborted. I'd be the first one to stand up if, God forbid, one of my nieces ever got raped, and say, no, it's not an option. Rape, being raped is not an option. That is still a baby. I would stand up and say that in a heartbeat. But the left likes to use that because they like an ends justifies the means mentality. They do the same thing with gun control. They take us clear over and let's talk about the gun that shoots off a million bullets. Very few people have a gun that shoots off a million bullets. You know what I mean. Why are we discussing that? Why? Let's talk about Second Amendment rights and the fact that the Constitution limits the right of the government to a very few things, and that the federal government has no business getting involved, period, in legislating gun rules. None. Now, if you're on the local level, if the people of New York City and the city council and the state of New York want to discuss the guns with a million bullets, go ahead and let them discuss that and leave me in Texas alone. And when I'm in New York City, you better believe I'll be fighting for the Second Amendment all the way. But if the federal government just stayed out of it, then New York can make their stupid ideas, and New York can bounce around the Constitution all I want, and us in here in Texas, who aren't going to put up with that crap, we don't have to worry about it. Oh, but that doesn't work for the liberal, does it? No, because you see, they're not just happy controlling New York City. They want to control Montana, too. They want to control Oklahoma. They want to control Texas. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. do the same thing with immigration. Well, what about the person that's been here? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, I'm like you, Jennifer. I don't care. What I care about right now, I don't want to have that discussion. I don't want to have the discussion about the lady that's 90 years old and she's been here since she was 10. I don't want to have that discussion right now. The discussion I want to have is we better seal off the borders and we better quit letting those people come in here unless they go through the line. Because as long as they continue to come through the line or come jump over the line, we're going to have a problem. And then I turn around and to somebody that's illegal, what do I say to them? What do I say? Do we have a good answer for that? I got a great answer for that. You mean to tell me you want amnesty and you want to just turn around and make everybody okay and then have another 30 million people here in 10 years, 20 years down the line that are stuck in the same mess you're in right now and you can't participate in the system because they were never encouraged to come through the line? No, I want the next generation of immigrants from Mexico and from Canada and from Cuba and from Grenada and from Trinidad. I want them to have come through the lines and become American citizens and participate in the system so that they can live the American dream. The person that jumped over the fence can't live the American dream. We made that mistake in the 80s. We turned around and gave blanket amnesty. We turned around and gave amnesty, and it did not get those people anywhere. Now they got another generation that cannot participate in the American dream because they didn't come through the line. See, my mentality is come through the line. Come through the line. Get in line. And you're more than welcome. Boy, give me your poor. You're tired. You're hungry. Boy, Ellis Island, the Statue of Liberty. The Irish immigrants and the Jewish immigrants and the German immigrants and the French immigrants. Some of the ones that made this country great. You know, you go to Evansville, Indiana. You used to live in Evansville, Indiana. And you go to one part of Indiana, and it's where all the German immigrants live. And you can tell it's where the German immigrants live because everything looks kind of European. You got the houses all close together, and there's not a lot of property because that was what they were used to over in Europe, not having a whole lot of property. So all the houses are all close together, and you know that's the German side of town. And you go down there and have the festivals and get your bratwurst. German immigrants. They came through Ellis Island. They came through the line. They followed the laws. And they participated in the American dream. And now some of them are business owners. If you jump the line, you can't participate in that. So it's really actually a very simple mentality to follow our laws. It's a very simple mentality. We got laws on the books in our Constitution that says the federal government needs to stay out of Second Amendment issues. I believe the state government should stay out of the Second Amendment issues. But at least if, like I say, if New York wants to get involved, let them get involved. Go ahead. If the people in New York want to let it go down that road, that's fine. Just leave me here alone in Texas. Leave me alone here in Texas. So I think I ran it on pretty good there, Dan Wilson. So with that, I'm going to pass it back down to you, and then I think we'll probably have Jennifer ready to come back. She had an emergency she had to deal with real quick, and she'll be back with us. So, Dan, I'm going to pass it to you. We're sitting at what? We got about 36 minutes left on the stream. We're going to try and go ahead and close it up at the top of the hour. So I think we probably got enough time to go around once, and then we'll start to close it out and go to our closing remarks. Dan Wilson down in Florida. What say you?
I agree with you on the immigration issue. My great-grandfather, to escape Kaiser Wilhelm, came over here, and I got stories passed down by my grandfather of how proud he was when he saw the Statue of Liberty and how he went through Ellis Island and how they were making lines, you know, different people, and they checked to see if they were healthy. And they went through the whole program, and then they had to study for an exam, which included, you know, our Constitution, Declaration of Independence, our government. They had to go through all of it. And when they got that piece of paper, that they said that said they were American citizens, the pride that they had was incredible. And my grandfather used to talk to me. I'd sit on his lap, and he'd talk to me about all things about upstate New York and the history of it. And back then, I was actually born in Connecticut. He called me his Connecticut Yankee. And used to tell me about New England and, Paul Revere and all of our history. And, you see, he had a pride with this country. And that pride carried on through World War II. He was in his 40s when World War II broke out and was so disappointed that he wasn't allowed to go fight. He wanted to go there and fight his own people because he loved this country so much. We had such pride in this nation. And even after the war, it was the first time that really Americans could live the American dream. And that was taken away from us during the 60s. And this is something that, and it's gotten worse and worse. And now they're saying that, the illegals can come in and, as you said, jump to first in line. And that's a crock of baloney. I agree. Our immigration system needs to be upgraded. It needs to be modernized and made so it's quicker for an immigrant to become an American citizen. And we do need some upgrades there. But that doesn't mean that in the meantime we should just allow anybody to come over the border from Mexico. But if the German, as you said, wants to come in, it's an entirely different story. There's definitely prejudice going on where they are allowing certain groups to come in and others not to. This is wrong. And I also spent time in the islands, and I even dated a girl from the islands, and wonderful people. And they want to come over here, and they want to do it the right way. But it's so difficult for them to do it that it makes it virtually impossible. So, they look at it, their competition is a guy who's going to jump a fence or dig a hole under the fence and come here. Usually smuggling drugs or something like that. And then they talk about the 80-year-old who's been there that crawled under the fence, 30 years ago. And the fact of the matter is he still went under the fence. And he ignored our laws. If I break a law in this country, I go to jail or fined or something. Yet they're telling these people that they can do as they please coming into our country. And that's wrong. That's totally wrong. I mean, I lived in Palm Springs, California for 11 years. And we're only, I think it was 68 miles from the border, from Calexico. And they would come in here smuggling their drugs, and they were drug bust all the time. And then there was the bad part of it was there used to be these people runners, and they would supposedly lead them through the desert, but when something bad happened, they bailed and left these people in the middle of the desert, no idea where the heck they are, and they'd find their bodies in the desert. You know, our federal government doesn't tell you that. And then there was other groups that turn around, as far as I'm concerned, desecrating our flag by flying the Mexican flag above ours in our country. That is total disrespect. And they wonder why we get upset. And then they don't, they refuse to learn how to speak English. And I'm sorry, this is the United States. English is our language. And this needs to become a law. Because it's wrong that we, you know, go out and spend hundreds of millions of dollars on writing different laws in all these different languages. Why? You know, if you go down to Mexico, you don't speak Spanish. That's your problem. You go to Germany, you go to France, you go, you know, Spain. If you can't speak their language, tough cookies. And if you cross their borders without permission, more often than not, you're shot. Not in this country. You know, we want you just to do it, as you said, we want it to you. You to just go through the process. And we don't mind that, you know, you're rich or poor or whatever. We'll take everybody. All we ask is you do it the right way. And that's not a big, you know, that's not too much to ask. But according to these, the liberals here, they're acting like we hate everybody. And it's not that we hate everybody. We believe that everybody should play by the same rules. And that's not much, too much to ask. To turn around and say, come on, everybody, this is an equal playing field, and we all play by the same rules. We don't, you know, allow certain groups to go ahead of other groups. And we're, you know, unfortunately, the liberals have allowed this to happen in every arena. They're talking about this college football player, and I can't remember his name. He's going to be going into the pros next year. And they're talking that, you know, they're terrified of him coming in because if he's not good enough to make it, then all the people on the left are going to be crying, oh, you're discriminating against this gay guy. No, you're discriminating against the guy. Can't play at the level of the pros. And this happens all the time. If you follow college football, you know, some kid that was great in college doesn't necessarily turn out to be a great pro player. And they're worrying about bringing this kid in simply because he's gay. And I agree that gay issues shouldn't be an issue. But the problem is the left is making it an issue. And this is what happens, is that they take non-issues and make them into issues. It's not a simple case of can you play good enough football. It's a case is he's gay, so he has to start. Well, pro football, you know, there's millions of dollars running it. These are high cost. This is a high cost industry. You know, it's a multi-billion dollar industry. And, you know, if somebody's not pulling their weight, they got to go. But if they do go, as I said, the left takes issue of it, makes an issue out of a non-issue, takes a person that couldn't play up to the standards of the pros and turns it into a, you hate gay people. And that's what they'll do. They do it with everything. Oh, you immigration because you hate Latinos. Well, I'm sorry. I don't hate anybody. How many of them can say that they've been to 48 countries? How many of them can say they had 17 different nationalities at their house for Christmas? And we all got along great. There's two different types of people in this world, in my, under the way I look at things. There's good people and there's jerks. And you fall into one of the two categories. Beyond that, my eyes don't see anything different. You know, and I look at also is that the Republican Party falls into these arguments that are counterproductive. We have to look at winning elections, and what the left is famous for is getting us into smaller arguments. I'm gays, or, you know, and not to downplay abortion, but the abortion issue or something like this, something to make us look bad, when what they need to do is they need to turn around and keep their eye on the objective, which is to win and put conservatives in office. And then we can make these changes. Then we have the ability, the power, and the ability to make these changes. Until such time, we can argue these individual issues until we're blue in the face, but if we keep on losing the elections, it's not going to help us a damn bit. So we got to stay focused, we got to get people involved, and we got to follow these people from the very beginning to find out if they're going to be true to what they're saying. You know, elect them on the into the local school board, and then turn around and does this person, is he following what he said he would do? And then as the person goes into state legislature, we follow the person, and are they doing what they said they were going to do? And then we bring them up to the federal level, and the same thing. And if they aren't doing it, then we know it's time to get rid of this guy or girl and find somebody that will. It's not real rocket science. But what we need to do is keep our eyes on the objective at the end. because then we can solve the issues at hand. And with that, I'll pass it back over to Jen. Jennifer, are you there?
Yes, I am. You know, I think you're right. We've got to, this is just a critical time. You know, so many people are losing their health care insurance. There's just so many things that are going, you know, we've got people that are elected into office that are saying one thing and doing another. And, you know, it's time that we wake up. You know, the rallies are great for a short time. They're good for a day. But we need to get people trained. When there's a need to go around and get signatures for to put people's names on the ballot, when there's a need for poll watchers, I mean, we all need to do our part. You know, parents need to stay on top of what their kids are doing. You know, we can be more informed in our city school boards when we have our PTA meetings, PTO meetings. You know, get involved. You know, our founding fathers, when you talk about the study of the Constitution, you know, that same study guide that was used back in the 1800s is still valid today. It's still user-friendly today, you know. And I hate to think what's going to happen in 2014 if we lose the House and the Senate, you know. But, you know, we've got 1% of the population of America that's really paying attention. They're more interested in what's happening on American Idol, you know. I think, you know, we've got people, progressives, that are running a lot of social media and stuff, and other people that are out there doing their due diligence to try to fight it, you know. Groups are popping up all over the place. But, you know, we've got to get outside that mouse and a wheel, you know, and we've got to do things in our communities, you know. I think that just being able to get, you know, when there's fairs going on, and bring your booth out there and educate people, let people know. You know, we're the poorest, just terrible, you know, at getting people to register to vote. You know, when a Republican candidate gets his name on the ballot and they put their website up and stuff, is there a place on there where if somebody comes and wants to see about who they are, is there a place on there where the constituent can actually register to vote? Do they have that stuff available? You know, I mean, look who's, you know, people are getting sworn in as American citizens, and the first people that are there to grab them up and talk about our democratic society is the Democrats. You know, we've got to do our part to reach out across those tracks, across those lines, and welcome people, you know. It's time. You know, our children's future at stake. You know, our country's at stake. There are people that would soon see the United States fall, you know, and become a communist country. And we can't let that happen. You know, why is it that our elected officials are being exempt from Obamacare? Why is it, you know, a lot of things? I mean, when are we going to get the answers to SEAL Team 6 and Benghazi and Fast and Furious? You know, why is it there seems to be more dirt being shoved under the rug? You know, I question why we have, you know, Hillary Clinton, who's obviously done something that was, you know, not lawful. Yet we've got the American people that just want to give her the benefit of the doubt and try to put her up for re-election, you know, to be elected president. When are we as American citizens going to wake up and hold our elected officials accountable? You know, stand up for the rights of our veterans, for the people, the right to bear arms, for our children's education, for the unborn who don't have a choice. You know, when are we going to stand up for those rights? Are we just going to quietly go on about our day and just let whatever happens, happens, and deal with the consequences when it's too late? 98% of the electoral vote voted for Hitler. The day after he was elected, people began to see the difference, a drastic difference, and they were sad they voted the way they did. Do we want that to happen in 2014? Do we want that to happen in 2016? What are you doing as a citizen of the United States to get involved, to be more informed, to make the right decision? Scott?
Well, I agree. And, you know, we're coming up to the top of the hour here pretty quick. And it's so true. We play keep on keeping on because it's important to fight. I believe it's important to fight for our biblical principles. I believe it's important for us to fight for our moral principles. I believe it's important to fight for economic principles. I believe it's important to fight for our judicial principles. That's why we spent so much time working on getting Don Miller home. Because I want the same integrity in our government. I want that same integrity in our judicial system. I want that same integrity in our churches. You know, we're missing that. You know, I want to give a shout out to a friend, Michael Forger, who is a preacher friend of mine in Ghana. He lives in central Ghana, and he's listening right now. And, you know, Michael and I have something in common. We believe that you speak where the Bible speaks and you get silent where the Bible is silent. We believe that God gave us that word for a reason. And, man, we look at our churches across the United States, and they're doing the same thing as our politicians are doing. You've got corruption, and you've got all kinds of things being added and taken away, and you've got organization that is crooked, and the money goes up one way, and it never comes back the other way, and it looks just like, it looks oftentimes in our churches just like our politicians do. And we've got the same situation in our judicial system. And so we have to fight for these things, and we have to stand up for what we believe in. Because otherwise the whole thing just goes to nonsense. And we've covered the gamut tonight in our discussion. We've talked a little bit about what's being able to be preached in the pulpits and the ability to not be able to speak freely in our pulpits and where we came from. And we've talked about some economic issues tonight, and we've talked about some candidates tonight. You know, man, we all come together on this show each week because we believe in some basic principles. That's why we all call ourselves Frederick Douglass Republicans. It's not because Frederick Douglass is our leader. It's because we all agree with Frederick Douglass's mentality. Frederick Douglass was a hurdle jumper. And I'm a firm believer that the other side doesn't like jumping hurdles. They like removing hurdles. They like getting rid of all the hurdles, and then nobody becomes strong. You know, Frederick Douglass, I'm going to talk about that for a moment, and then I'm going to pass it back around to us for a couple of closing remarks, and then we'll close out with a few words about the rest of what goes on during the week here on Contending for Truth Radio. But, you know, we talked about the Mayflower. We talked about the Mayflower. Those people jumped some hurdles. They jumped some pretty huge hurdles, and that was what made, when they got here to this great continent, that was what made them strong. And we talked about the Revolutionary War, where we fought off Britain, and we said, no, we don't want you telling us what to do anymore. He jumped some major hurdles. Hurdle jumpers. Frederick Douglass jumped some hurdles. He was a slave. He was born into slavery. He lost his mom at 6 years old. And when he heard his master say, you can't teach that boy to read because if you teach him to read, he'll be worthless as a slave, Frederick Douglass, instead of sitting and crying in front of his hurdle, went, aha, thank you for giving me the answer. I better learn how to read. He was a hurdle jumper. And see, the other side of politics, they want to take away all the hurdles. They want to make everything fair for everybody. They want to make everything, you want to take it, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will always hurt me. No, it's sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. You learn to throw that over your shoulder because people are going to call you names the rest of your life. Either you learn how to deal with it or you don't. It's that kind of mentality. That's why I keep going back to the mentality. It's the mentality of let's make sure everything is fair for everybody, and life isn't meant to be fair. And you know, it's that kind of a mentality, and it's not a Republican thing, and it's not a Democrat thing. It's an ideology thing. And so that's why we fight. That's why we fight for these basic principles we believe in. We believe that if the federal government tries to micromanage and make everything fair, it will never be fair. What's fair is you get out and you give it your best shot.
And life isn't always fair. We believe that. I believe that life is precious. You know, I was born in 1968 before Roe v. Wade. I was an unwanted pregnancy. I was adopted by Larry and Linda Osborne. And you know, I was given a really good life, and I had great grandparents, and I had great grandparents. I had great sets of grandparents, and I had great sets of great grandparents, and I had great parents, and a great sister, and great aunts and uncles, and I had great aunts and uncles. I lived a good life. Things were wonderful. But it's because of that I, you know, it's part of the reason I'm so passionate about the abortion issue. There's all kinds of parents all over this country that want to adopt and can't. It's difficult. See, these issues, they all come together with a mentality. And once you get the mentality right, you get the rest of it right. You know, there's an old preacher story that there was a little boy, and he kept pestering his dad. He wanted attention from his dad, and his dad was working. And he says, you know, I'll tell you what. And he grabbed a magazine, and he ripped out a picture of the globe. He took a picture of the world from space. He ripped it up into little pieces. He says, little Johnny, I want you to go put that back together. And when you're done, I'll be done. And then I'll give you some time. And the little boy comes back in 5 minutes, and he's got this picture of this red and blue marble. I mean, this blue and green marble all put together. And the dad looked at him and said, well, how did you do that so fast? He says, well, Daddy, on the backside there was a picture of a man. And I put the man together, and you turn it over, and the world just kind of fixed itself. Mentality, folks. We're talking about character issues. We're talking about Rodney Lee Conover and his character. You know, that's what I like about Rodney. That's why I'm so excited about Rodney Lee Conover. I know what his character is. You know, a few weeks ago, around Thanksgiving, we had him on this show as a guest, and we all got to know him. And man, I jumped on board because I liked what I heard. But since then, I talk to Rodney sometimes 4 and 5 times a day on the phone. I know his character. I know where he stands. I know what kind of fight he's got, and I know what he believes in. So that's what it's all about. That's why I support him. Now he's a conservative. He's a solid conservative, and I like that about Rodney. But what I really like about Rodney is I know that he is who he is, and money's not going to sway him. Let me tell you, if they go to try and bribe Rodney Lee Conover, they're going to be called out on the carpet. Rodney's the kind of guy that'll turn around and say, that guy's trying to bribe me, dude. Guy's trying to bribe me. And that's what we need. That's what we need. We've got to have people that stand up for what they believe in. And that's why we do this every week. So I'm going to pass it back to Dan for a couple of minutes and Jen for a couple of minutes for closing remarks, and then we'll go ahead and talk about what we've got on the rest of the week. We got some exciting things going on and coming up. And so, Dan, I'll pass it back to you and let you pass it to Jennifer, and then I'll take it over and we'll close out the show.
Okay, got it. We need to look for new people that we get elect. We need people of conviction, people who are going to stand up no matter what for what is right and what their constituents want. If we don't have that, we're going to lose this nation. And we need to start making these changes. And it starts here at home. So everybody, we need everybody to get out there, do your job, look, you know, talk to other people, find people who are willing to run for office, who you feel have the convictions and the beliefs, and then support them until they get elected and follow them through. And this is how we can change this country back. With that, I'll pass it over to Jennifer.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
I just say, you know, find out who it is that's running for council and city council in your community. Find out who's running on your school board. Do your due diligence. Get the homework. Find out who they really are. You know, take a look at your values and line them up with the candidate. Vote for the candidate that you believe that fits the same, you know, values that you have. And get in there and make a difference, you know. And find a candidate that you can actually get in there and help. You know, there's always a need for volunteers. You know, there's always a need. And you may not be able to contribute financially, but you can go out there and hold a sign up and rally on the street corner for someone or go door knocking for somebody. You know, it makes a difference. You know, be a part of the process. Be a part of the solution, not the problem. Make a difference. You know, 2014 does matter, and it really does to all of us, to our children, you know, to each and every one of you. Scott?
Amen, Jennifer. And great show tonight, guys. You know, we had a lot of fun tonight. Rodney Conover on for a few moments with us. Teresa Brusky, may tell you, a good friend. I had Paul Arnold there on for a couple of minutes even. And I want to again thank my good friend Michael Forger in Ghana for tuning in with us tonight. We're going all the way to Africa tonight on our broadcast, which is really kind of neat about Contending for Truth Radio and our ability with Blog Talk Radio. You know, we do this each Tuesday night at 7 o'clock California, 8 o'clock Mountain Time, 9 o'clock Texas Time, and 10 o'clock Florida Time. And, you know, we do it because we're passionate about what we believe in. And, you know, on Fridays, I do something else that I'm passionate about, what I believe in. Fridays at 10:30 California time, 12:30 Texas time, and 1:30 Florida time, we do Lady Bible class. And we're in the middle of the story of King David right now. And it's great because it kind of ties in with what we're talking about tonight, character. King David was a man after God's own heart, and we're studying through. I used to sit across the table from those ladies. I sure do miss them, and I miss my cinnamon rolls. They're eating those cinnamon rolls out there in California. But with the Blog Talk Radio, they can still gather together at Betty's table, and they sit and listen on the Internet now. I talked to them before on the phone and after on the phone, so it's kind of like I'm almost there, but I'm not. But we do that each Friday on Monday night. The Rodney Stanhope and Brian Wilson, I'm sorry, Brian, do a rotten show from California, talking about California politics. We're no longer doing the IRP 6 show on Thursdays. They have got their own blog talk station now, which is wonderful. They're able to do a whole lot of things with that. So we're going to be filling that block here soon. We got some days open, and we're going to start doing a few other things here as soon as things calm down. We want to remind you, go to Rodney. We want you to go to Rodney's website, conoverforcongress.com. That's conoverforcongress.com. Go there. You can find his Twitter and his Facebook and everything. Check him out. He's a good man. He's a good man, and that's what's important. He's a good man. And some of these other candidates we've talked about, and we're going to continue to fight as we go throughout this year, doing what we do best, talking about politics and passing it on around. So I want to thank Jennifer Montrose in Alabama. I want to thank Dan Wilson in Florida. We always have a great time. Saturday is our next show coming up. Saturday, folks. Dan Wilson and I will be doing Saturday Symposium as we do each Saturday morning. And boy, Dan, what time we do it? We do it 10 o'clock my time and 11 o'clock your time. Is that correct?
Noon your time.
11 o'clock my time, noon, we'll find it there on Contending for Truth Radio. We've changed it a couple of times, and I've just forgotten what time we're doing it. I just get up in the morning and look at the link. But Dan and I have a great time talking about politics. We talk a lot about history, and our theme is, been there, done that. And so we talk with guests sometimes that have been there, done that, and we talk a lot about a lot of history and how that comes together with politics. So we want to thank you. We're going to log it on out tonight with Keep On Keeping On, our good old friend D-Rock. This song says it all. Again, thank you, Michael, for joining us there towards the end, and want to thank all of our guests. So until next time, folks, here on Contending for Truth Radio, the Parental Sovereignty Radio Show, Keep On Keeping On.
tragedies that just go wrong. Make you wanna holler and shout and throw your hands up in the air, wondering what it's all about. That things can get much worse in a second. Oh, everything just goes south. Keep on keeping on. Whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. Take it one day at a time. God's grace is gonna be fine. Got what it takes down inside. Before the dawn, take it one day at a time. With God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down inside. The road ain't alone. Keep on keeping on. Keeping on, whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. I'll give you one better time. With God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down inside.
They didn't cut it.